Hey leaders, before we get into this episode, I wanted to tell you about a free event that I'm hosting, your Personal Leadership Audit Live Workshop. I've put the workshop together because if you want to stand out as an exceptional leader, you have to know yourself, inside and out. Understanding your strengths and weaknesses is critical, and for that, you need a high degree of self-awareness and a commitment to self-reflection. Now, if you're committed to unlocking your leadership potential, then working through a self-assessment like this is going to help you to quickly identify a path to higher impact. I'll be leading you through a deep dive into the 7 imperatives of my No Bullshit Leadership Framework, so that by the end of the session, you'll know exactly what areas you need to develop if you really want to stand out from the crowd. We're only opening up 150 spots, so register now at yourceomentor.com/workshop. That's yourceomentor.com/workshop.
Welcome to the No Bullshit Leadership Podcast. In a world where knowledge has become a commodity, this podcast is designed to give you something more. Access to the experience of a successful CEO who has already walked the path. So join your host, Martin Moore, who will unlock and bring to life your own leadership experiences and accelerate your journey to leadership excellence.
Welcome to Moments with Marty, your short, sharp shot of leadership insight to help you stay on track between our weekly episodes of No Bullshit Leadership. The board of directors is increasingly seen as the accountable body for ensuring ethical, responsible behaviour from companies. But we still seem to be witnessing some pretty spectacular failures in corporate governance. To me, this isn't particularly surprising. The board has very little influence over what the management team does on a day-to-day basis. If they put the wrong incentives in place, or if they don't have strong independent monitoring to help them, then all they can rely upon is the integrity and competence of the chief executive officer. I've long held the view, and nothing has happened recently to convince me otherwise, that boards have limited control over what really goes on. Now, I'm sure that many professional directors are going to disagree with me on this, but that would most likely be a reflection of their ego rather than the reality. Just think about this for a minute. Directors spend very little time, if any, in the business. I've even seen directors come onto a major board in an industry they're not familiar with, and they're not even bothered to visit the company's operating sites to work out how the company runs. How can they possibly understand the business? How can they know what the key value drivers are and the critical risks? For many directors, a board seat is about status and power, which isn't particularly conducive to good governance. And to further dilute their effectiveness, the only lens through which they can view the business is the lens that management presents: board papers, meetings, and eventually, results, which is a rather untimely lag indicator. In episode 248 of the podcast, I looked at an interview with one of Australia's leading board directors, Alison Watkins. I don't know Watkins, but I do know that she has significant experience as a director of blue chip companies. Her experience is that the relationship between the CEO and the board is changing. She cites the move from a purely financial focus to a much more holistic focus on reputation, impact, and sustainability. I'm pretty sure she's right about this. If there's one thing I know about board directors, it's that they are fanatical about ensuring their personal reputations remain intact. I'm sure they're reflecting societal standards now more than they ever have. I'm also sure that this is breeding a new level of conservatism in these companies. Watkins also claims that the days of the all-powerful CEO are over. Well, that would surprise me greatly for a few reasons. The first is the problem of information asymmetry. CEOs have greater access to information than their board, and this, in and of itself, is likely to keep CEOs in the box seat. I'm not certain that the balance of power has shifted back to the board too much. If it had, we'd see less anecdotal evidence of CEO and senior executives skiing off-piste. And I think there's still plenty of anecdotal evidence to suggest that's not the case. Part of me also thinks that human nature doesn't fundamentally change. CEOs know they need to play a different game, but they are typically the smartest people in the room when it comes to optimizing their position. Managing the board relationship is a core skill, which I'm sure many CEOs have mastered. And they'll be able to effectively move with the changing perceptions without ultimately ceding power to the board. Or is that too cynical? Look, it is possible that there's been a shift in the board-CEO relationship in the last 5 years. I mean, let's face it, societal standards are shifting, and the screws are tightening on directors with their personal exposure increasing. This is forcing the board to pay closer attention so that it doesn't end up becoming this week's headline. But I still can't help thinking that the information asymmetry and the lack of time spent in the business still makes it incredibly difficult for a board to exercise its governance duties effectively without the cooperation of a high-integrity CEO. If the CEO is open, transparent, and courageous, you'll be able to build an incredibly effective governance structure around that relationship. If not, the board is ultimately at the mercy of the management team. For more depth on this insight, have a listen to episode 248 of the No Bullshit Leadership Podcast, The CEO and the Board. We'll leave a link in the show notes. I really hope you enjoyed this moment and that it gives you that extra little spark to be a no bullshit leader.